What if your whole life depends on understanding? I see you, seeing me, seeing you. So, can anybody out there describe how your whole life may depend on understanding that sentence? And by the way, Canadians are not permitted to speak of the song "God is Watching." And don't anybody speak of the watching bird. Of course, you don't know what the watching bird was. That was back in the 30s. There was a little magazine that came out for kids, and it was called The Watching Bird, and there was always a watching bird watching you. Neither of those two answers are acceptable. Now, can anybody tell me why or how it might be that I see you seeing me seeing you, that your whole life depends on that?
I certainly cannot, but I could talk about what I hear happening in the image, if you want that.
I don't know what you're talking about until you tell me.
From what that, from listening or creating an image from that statement, what I seem to hear is that I can see someone else acknowledging or being aware of my being alive and acknowledging them. They're aware of my existence.
Anybody else want to tackle that? By the way, you just proved my initial statement to you while we were waiting before we began. Or my original question to you.
Always interesting, thank you.
Simone, talk to me about your dream.
Yeah, you wanted that I read it, or?
No, I just say, relative to your dream, what might it mean when I say your whole life depends on understanding, I see you seeing me seeing you?
So, I would say that I is the personal being, seeing the privilege, the eternal being, seeing personal being, seeing privilege. I don't mean privilege being, I mean eternal being.
Good. Because dreams reveal the self and life you are living regardless of what you think you are living. What the hell does that mean?
Oh, my dream. I opened what I wrote you.
Well, there's a lot of other people on this phone. Somebody else can answer. Dreams reveal the self and life you are living regardless of what you think you are living. What does that mean? Or what could that mean? Or what does that mean to you? Or do you give a shit? Now, if nobody at all, after all we've talked about for almost a year now, nobody wants to look at that statement that I say to you, nobody gives a crap about their eternal self. And if you don't like that, Patrick, come back and give me an answer to this question. Dreams reveal the self and life you're living regardless of what you think you are living.
Well, I've been thinking about that one, actually. And that, I thought myself further along than I have been before. I used to think it simply was my life put up on a screen, kind of like a movie, in my dream. It shows me what I am actually living in my life, regardless about what I may think I'm living in my life. And it's just that it was writ large, that's what it seemed to be telling me, that the dreams were a portrayal of what's really going on rather than what I think is going on in my life. I've taken that a step further now, and what I was thinking is that the life that I'm living, the beliefs, the thoughts, the attitudes, everything that shapes, that provides a context for the physical, personal life that I'm living, can't help but be the projector that the dream is formed out of all of that stuff, and it will take symbolic form, but it's me through all those thoughts, all those attitudes, everything that I'm finding important or unimportant, I'm struggling with, or whatever it is that I'm going on in my daily life, provides that context, and then it's projected then, and the eternal self picks all of that up, and I tied that into everything I'm living today gives shape to my eternal self, so that the eternal self faithfully reflects in what I've been seeing the life that I'm living today, and will use a symbolism to even the words I'm using here give a separation. And that I don't, what I'm finding when I'm thinking about this, there isn't a separation. It's a very solid connection I sense that whatever I'm living at a personal level is immediately imprinted eternally in my eternal self, and then forms the images that I see in the dreams that feeds back to me what I'm actually living. I hope that made some sense, but that's what I've been thinking about recently.
Okay. Let's assume that makes sense. What from exactly what you just said now, then, what can you do about that? When I say what can you do about that, I mean, what do your dreams then allow you to do relative to what you just said? What do your dreams allow you to do?
Well, in the first instance, it allows me to ask a very simple question. Do I want to continue living that which I see being put up on the screen in my dreams? So that's number one, and it gives me the opportunity to make that kind of choice. Number two, it gives me the opportunity to put new input into my personal life that I would like to see show up in my dreams, and that I can feed back in through the life and the actions that I'm taking in my everyday life to feed new information into my eternal self, which I think then will show up in my dreams with the kind of in that circular, seeming circular feedback, that my dreams will reflect the new actions that I'm inputting into my personal life.
Well, even assuming that all of that is true, do you not understand that everything you said, you kept yourself focused on your personal self, Pat?
Yes, I'm really aware of that, and that's also something I've been thinking about a whole bunch, and that is, I'm What I've found that I've been doing is that, as you've told us many, many times, that you take things apart so we can see them, and that you help us put them back together again. What I found that I've been doing is that in taking apart personal self and eternal self, I've left them separate.
You what?
I have left them separate and detached. I have seen them, eternal self, as something separate.
Maybe you have to. Maybe you're talking now like everybody else, in a way that you keep talking like this, and you'll never understand anything.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. Maybe you're right, but maybe this is the part of what I'm trying to work through here, that in this holding the separation, and that the whole feedback system, and that I think you've told us all kinds of times that the eternal being sees us as personal beings as sort of godlike, that we can do things that eternal being can't do. So
wait, pause. Pause a minute.
Yep.
You know, I'm... Here's the problem. I had a long conversation. We can't talk about these things. The conversation I had was, could we talk about self, life, and I can't remember the third. I think the third was emergent for a moment. And what my comment was, until you can talk to me about self as a separate and individual self, and life as a separate and individual self, we can't even talk. Because if you can't talk to me about self separate from life, or separate from, maybe the other was body, whatever, okay, separate from you or body or whatever, then we don't have a way to communicate. And when
so
you,
you're saying that self, that you want, that in order to be able to engage in a communication here, that there has to be, self is separate from life.
Let's assume that's the case. If you're going to talk to me about self, I gotta know what the hell you're talking about before you intermix self with body, with you, with life, and Patrick, and etc. You put it all back together again, and I'm saying here, maybe your rush to put it all back together is you don't know what you're talking about. And I'm saying maybe we should keep it separate in all of this thing. I see you seeing me seeing you. Maybe we should keep it all. You would say, well, that's like me looking at Dudley and Dudley looking back at me. So I see Dudley looking at me seeing him. Until we then keep everything all separate in that regard. If you put it together too quick, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And once you put it together, I sure as hell don't know what you're talking about anymore.
I totally get what you're saying.
You what?
I don't know if I could have said it with, I totally get what you're saying.
Well, I had a 2-hour conversation with that about, well, no, we gave up on the conversation because it was so difficult. Because I was over a bad computer. But anyway, now when we're talking about the dream, if you keep focused on the personal self, then you kind of ignored your eternal self. If your dreams are about your eternal self, and no one ever really concerns themselves about their dreams, then I can say, gee, you're not really concerned about your eternal self. And that's a valid comment in that regard, because nobody seems to really be concerned about their dreams. Now, if your dream then is of and from your eternal self, what is the advantage? You can step into the dream as though you are the eternal self and look at things. In other words, your dreams enable you to experience directly your eternal self.
Got a question. In the dream, is my eternal self separate enough from my personal body self that I can really get a good view of the eternal without the distortion of the personal life, body life?
Of course. If you then...
It is, really?
If you then... stand in your eternal self, the dream is saying, from that perspective, this is what I see you doing.
So I close the dream, or I put into the dream my personal life stuff, because that's all I'm relating to at the moment. Is that correct? I personalize it, and I bodify it.
And that's important. But when I talk about that your whole self and life depends on that, whole in that regard can mean you personal and you eternal as the whole. So your whole self and life depends upon, in a sense, if I'm getting right, understanding your dream. And dreams allow you to step out of your personal self concerns all the time and relate the dream to what you are personally doing and be able to see what you're doing from an eternal perspective. You don't like that. And I'm saying that for a very specific reason.
Hang on a sec.
I got one too.
Yeah, and then I want to ask about something I've been experimenting with. I've been experimenting with putting myself into dream state and staying. Like not really going to sleep. It's sort of like sleep, but it's not quite asleep. And a whole, there is an opening up of a communication that seems to be taking place between me, that Patrick, that's semi-awake and semi-asleep, and eternal self who engages back, and we seem to be speaking and communicating in images, and it's been an interesting exercise, and I don't get a lot of clarity about what we're talking about, but it seems that I'm demonstrating myself. What I think anyway is that there is, as close as I can get, seems to be an awareful communication between eternal self and personal self going on in that state. I look forward to my dreams to see what we're going to be what we are going to be engaged with tonight. I look forward to them. I go to bed looking forward to the dream. So when you say we don't care, I don't care, we don't want to, that doesn't quite jive with what's going on.
Well, now maybe it does jive, and maybe you don't understand. I'll predict you don't have any real skill in understanding your dreams from an eternal perspective.
I wouldn't argue with that. I think that's something
then,
that I'm
then
working.
What have I said that violates anything here? It doesn't matter if you say I have this great conversation with my eternal self. I'll say, yeah, what was it about? And you then revert back to a conversation about your personal self. Haven't you gone amok? Isn't the eternal self talking about the eternal self?
Yeah.
Then from an eternal perspective, then we would say, not from a personal perspective, but from an eternal perspective, what are your dreams saying in that regard? In other words, if we say your dreams reveal a self and life you're living regardless of what you think you are living, and you say to me, well, that means that I think I'm doing one thing in my personal life and I'm probably doing something else and it's straightening me out. But it can also mean in that same statement that you are living your eternal self. And the question is, if that is true, and it seems to be true, and we'll carry that even further before the night's out. Isn't that interesting to you? And if it is interesting to you, it's like I started this with a question from Simone. Simone interprets a dream relative to her personal self. I sent it back to her. Said, okay, come on now. Tell me what the eternal self is saying about the eternal self. And doesn't that then give you an opportunity to stand, and we could say on the Eternal Self magazine or in the place of the Eternal Self, and see and know and understand what it is from an eternal perspective you are actually living? Everybody interprets dream to tell you, judge or otherwise, about your personal self. Wait a minute! We already know that that's available to you. What I've been trying to do for a long, and most of the dream classes we've done were about that, but what I've been talking about for a year now is your dreams are of and from your eternal self, about your eternal self. Talk to me about that. And if you then do that, and you talk from that perspective, and if you do what you do, and say, get in there and actually experience the dream in that way, then are you not experiencing yourself as an eternal being? So here I have a question. Is it possible that you don't even want to think that this is possible because you think that, and this is a question, that your eternal self should be all goody-two-shoes, all wise, all right, all good? What if your eternal self ain't no better than you is? What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but there's, oh, Andrew, you had something before I proceed. Andrew, you had something you wanted to ask?
Oh, I was just curious. He made another statement. It's a little off track now, but it was just, you said, Roger, I think you said something like, we don't like, because something like the way our dreams are, we don't like our dreams. And I was just thinking more, could it be that it's not that I don't like them, I just get frustrated that I can't understand them.
This is the point. You don't understand them. Maybe you don't want to understand them, or that you think that the dreams are somehow or other judging you as Andrew, personal being, and you don't understand that.
I won't, for me, disagree with that. I think that's plausible.
And all I'm saying
often
is,
true.
Then you... The purpose of the dreams might be so that you can awarefully experience the communion of personal self, eternal self.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do that. You stay personal self focused and say, what is it telling me as a personal being? Well, maybe it's telling you to understand what it is you're doing and to actually experience yourself as an eternal being.
Well, I can certainly see, I've recently begun realizing certain, I guess I'll call it, I just, when I take it to another context, it's like a whole light goes on in my head. It's like, oh, well, forget what I was about to judge.
I mean, if I just look at myself as a personal being, yeah, I'm certainly more likely to judge. But if I was to look at it from what it says about my eternal self, that is intriguing.
No, no, no.
Why is it not?
If the dream is of and from the eternal self, it's not talking about you from an eternal perspective. It's talking to you about, it is your eternal self talking to you. What you're still doing in that regard is maintaining your personal self perspective and then trying to understand what the dream is saying from a different perspective. Maybe that's the mistake.
Oh. Well considered that, okay.
Do you understand that, Simone?
I think so. The I in my dream would be the eternal self. Not
sure.
The personal
and
self.
What you did in your dream is said I, personal self. Oh, okay, that's fine. We've talked about that. That's one way to interpret and understand dreams. But we've been talking for a year about your eternal self. So then I becomes eternal self. Now then see and understand your dream as though you are speaking or are speaking as your eternal self. Now back to you, Pat.
Well, I think there's some of this, the relationship between personal being and eternal being needs some discussion. I have, based on what I think we've been talking about for a long time, more or less the eternal being was kind of at the mercy of however personal being may be living, that the personal being living is what is shaping the eternal being.
Wait a minute. Start that last sentence over again.
The personal being living is what is shaping the eternal being.
Okay, but what I said was this. I said your eternal self are to you as your life is to your eternal self. So we want to keep this separate and then put it back together again.
I'm having trouble with how much what? I've developed a picture here that has the eternal being quite dependent on how personal being is living, to the point where I think I've heard you say that it's entirely possible for me to live personal being in such a way that I ultimately destroy eternal being. I seem to
wait
remember.
Just a minute now. You're presuming an eternal being exists. Let's assume that no eternal being exists. See, what you said is that what you're doing is shaping your eternal self. That statement in the use of the word shaping presumes then that the eternal self exists and all you're doing is shaping it or formulating it or something of that nature. Now I'm asking you, what if no eternal self exists?
That's what I've been toying with. And there's only me eternally.
What?
There is that. I'm trying to put it back together again, and then this discussion seems to be that it's maybe premature for me to be trying to put it back together again.
Well, then you begin to see, you got to talk to me about eternal self and personal self so that I can understand what you're talking about, because the minute you put them back together again, they get so intertwined that you can't understand what's going on.
Okay, so but let me try with the words to be make sure very carefully. I think you said, what if there is no such thing as an eternal being?
Well, I said no such thing as an eternal self.
Then I got that mixed up.
Well, if I said being, then I'm wrong. So just say, what if there is no such thing as an eternal self?
Then there's, like last week or the week before, when you said that if we get rid of, you know, if there's no need for God and we get rid of God, what's left? There's only self.
Well, I don't think I said it that way, but in any case, so, well, let me ask you this question. The discussion that I had about self, life, and body was this. Is there a self that precedes you? Is there a self that exists before or whatever you were conceived or born? Or is the self that you sense only the self that is developed since birth or since your embodiment? Isn't that a worthwhile beginning discussion?
Yes, it is. That's quite important.
Okay. Then if you say there is no self prior till your body, then I'll say to you that when your body dies, you as a self die. Is that okay? And that's what you're afraid of.
That in that simple put either or, then it's not okay.
Okay, then the alternative to that under our language structure is that there is a self that precedes your conception or birth today. Would you like to talk about that self and the consequence of that self preceding you today? And you've tried to then, as has many, justify that through discussion of past lives, and then say that if I have past lives, then they're regardless of what I may be doing, etc., there is a self or soul that is that will continue everlastingly so. And religion has pandered to that for a long time. So, which answer, yes or no, is there a self that precedes you, your conception and birth? You do understand this is a damned if you do and damned if you don't question, no matter what answer.
I don't want to have been preceded, no.
You know what? I didn't hear you.
I don't want to have preceded this, the birth in this body.
Then if there is no self that precedes, then there is no self that continues, unless you're saying that somehow or other, then that you begin right now. And if that's the case, then you're saying then that in your next life, there is a self that preceded the next life.
Yeah, Andrew and Sally will take predecession. We take the we take a predecessor answer.
Now, if you take a preceded self, then karma is valid, right and wrong. What?
Really? Why is that so? Why is karma?
Because all of the rights and wrongs or goods or bads or this or that of the prior self is part of you today.
Well, wait. That presumes that prior self was actually even doing anything. I'm not presuming that.
Well, what is a self if it isn't doing anything?
It's being. But not necessarily.
There is no being without doing. Don't play that word game with me.
I will cut it this close with you. The being is an action. It's an action.
If there is no action, you can't talk to me about that prior being self, so it doesn't matter. It's inconsequential.
That's why we don't talk about it.
No, you don't talk about it because I've got you on a dilemma, and the way everybody else has done this so far is to say, oh, well, that's a spiritual being. That's a known unknowable in that regard. But what I've been saying all along is that's not so. You don't want an unknown, unknowable self that precedes you, either.
Well, Roger, there has to, if you look at DNA body, there has to be a self that precedes in that way.
Not necessarily. That's your body. We're not talking about self. And what we're then talking about in this regard is, does the self come from the body you were given? It ain't you.
Okay.
It's not your responsibility.
Okay.
See,
so the personal self is the question. Does that precede? Does a personal self precede personal self now?
No, I'm saying, we could say that, or is there an eternal self that precedes you? If anything precedes you or nothing precedes you, what I'm talking about, is there a third option? You can stay with your language thinking until you, and you run up against, you can't come to an answer, so you'll call it a spiritual unknown.
Okay, I go for the third option.
What is the third option?
Oh, that's what we got to figure out without language. Okay. Simone knows what to do with that. Come on, Simone. You're fresh and early today, so you're up and raring to go.
And if you say
not
that,
really.
If you say that a self exists prior to yourself today, then the self you know today is your eternal self. And that's it. The way you are today, that's your eternal self.
Roger, I want to take a crack at what you're putting up here.
Of course, you understand what I'm putting up here is I'm trying to drive you crazy until you're willing to look at this. You haven't looked at it since the get-go, and it is of absolutely no concern to you up to now. I'm rubbing it in your face to say, make it a concern right now.
Yeah, I'm not too particularly worried about what you're doing. I feel like I have a sense of something here, but I'll admit I'm hard pressed to talk about it. So, I'll say that, I guess I'm thinking of like a stem cell in the body. It's a cell, but it hasn't really been defined as anything. I mean, I'm willing to say maybe something like in the universe, there's like self thingies sort of. They sort of exist there, but they need to take action to really be seen and exist and known. And maybe that's what carries on, when I personal self stop acting, and what carries the imprint of my eternal self that I wrote, that I created.
So, if I get you correctly, you're saying, contrary to what most people say that they would be devastated to even think that they are just a random happening in the universe.
I could go at this a couple ways, but I'm willing to say that in the universe there is a pattern, a placeholder, a memory construct for things called beings and conscious beings. I mean, I'm not saying it was pre-made. I'm just saying somewhere there, the universe has it done somehow, whatever. And it has a pattern. It exists like infinite patterning everywhere. But you gotta have something activated to really make it seen, but it is there nonetheless.
So you're willing to say that you come from or what precedes you is a random self?
Yeah, I'll say that. I mean, yeah, it wasn't intentional. It is just, but it's a damn good thing to start with. That's all I'm saying. It's personal, useful. I like it.
Why? You started screwing things up when you said it was useful and I like it. Because you've particularized it and et cetera. And I want you to get away.
What I'm saying, Roger, no. What I'm saying is, it's like any resource that I've used to craft something, or it's like a mailman, it's like a service. It's kind of like, yeah, I've having that. It's been useful to me. That's all. I've made good use of it. That's really all I'm trying to say.
Well, what kind of use of it have you made? And talk to me about that. Prior to you existing.
All right. Well, now you're getting into the area where I don't have a good set of words for it, but I still have this. I swear to God, I looked at this once. I mean, before I was born or something. What do you want me to talk about? How I've made use of it? I mean, here I am. I made use of it.
Talk to me about that. I've said to you that all events or happenings in the universe are random. And
yep.
They are random in the sense that they are not intentional. And that you particularize and personalize every event to accommodate yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you now saying to me that there is a stem self, which is just a random occurrence or happening of the universe, and that you, Andrew, at this present time, we'll say before this, we'll say something else, but you at this time are particularizing and personalizing that stem self that is you.
Yeah, right. Now, my before I advance one more step on this, I want to know, can I borrow from you from 2007 July and say thingy self, or is that reserved for something else?
No, that's okay, but what I'm now saying is, let's call this self that precedes, instead of saying just being, a stem self.
All right.
Because if we call it a stem self, then like a stem cell in your body functions in a certain way, and we have a great deal of information about that, maybe we can apply what information we have about stem cells of your body to stem selves of your life and get a clear image or picture of that stem self and how that functions in your life in the same way as a stem cell functions in your body.
All right. Can I say something about this already?
Sure.
Now, you may correct me on this, I suppose, but I the first thing that comes to mind is the thing I think I liked most about this was it was like a placeholder, or I don't know how to say this, it's something that remained even when I took my eye off of it. In other words, as I'm creating my personal self, who I am today, but you know, before I was embodied, or even when I'm embodied, it's like it sort of holds things together there while I kind of relax or take a step back, or I don't need to constantly be trying to maintain it. And it gives me room to be more, I guess, than I am consciously doing. There's emergent possibility there because I'm communing with that and my what I've got so far.
What holds it together?
What holds it together? I don't really know that. Maybe the universe and the part of the universe that we call memory. It's just like you say, random function of the universe. It's a program. It's data. It's there. It can exist.
What part of the universe do we call memory? Why?
What part of the universe?
Well, you said it was some part of the universe in this. What part of the universe do we call memory?
I think I'm pulling back from about a month or so here, 2 ago. I think we said memory is the interaction of one or more pieces of data.
But that didn't answer my question. What?
Yeah. I don't know, Raj.
Everything!
What?
Everything about the universe is memory.
Right.
The environment of the universe and everything in and of the universe, from the data to the massive star, is memory.
Is this something like your opening statement? I see you, seeing me, seeing you, seeing me?
What does that got to do with anything?
That anything else maintains me by its own memory.
No, what the original sentence means is, we didn't do that for a moment. Let's go back a minute and look at this. If I say, I see you seeing me seeing you, what if I say, I, personal self, see you, eternal self, seeing me, personal self, seeing you, eternal self? Isn't that one understanding of the dream? And what if I say, I, eternal self, see you, personal self, seeing me, eternal self, seeing you, personal self? And in that, have I not said that your dreams are of the eternal self shown to you, and your life then is a muse or a showing to your eternal self, which shows to you back? Is this okay with you, Patrick?
Yeah, I'm following. I really, really like where it's where it's going. Thank you.
So,
Roger, I have a question, and this may be changing the subject. Is that of this eternal self, personal self, of the same ilk as the concept of do the universe react, and is that the action of you?
What was this again?
Is this of the same ilk, personal eternal self, that communion back and forth, if you will, maybe simultaneously, the same ilk as the concept of you, universe reacts to you, which is then the action of the universe? Is it of the same ilk or the same concept or not?
Yes.
Okay.
On a different scale, but it's all the same thing. Because
okay.
Then in that regard, the universe is feeding back to you, and that
right.
feeding back to you is feeding
right.
back to the universe, etc., etc., etc.
Okay. Thank you.
So is it possible then, when we talk about your true self, we're really talking about a stem self that is nothing.
And oh, yeah.
It's an unintentional something, but it's really nothing. It's not particularized. It's not personalized until you personalize it.
Okay.
Yep.
So every event in your life is essentially a nothing until you personalize and particularize that event as a something.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, let's assume that's the case. Can we then talk about a stem self, S-E-L-F? Can we talk about a stem self that is you in the same way that we talk about stem cells, of your body?
Sure. We have a short discussion here to make sure we're all talking about the same thing. I understand stem cells to be kind of a plenary cell that's capable of taking on the role of everything from liver to fingernails to heart cells.
Start over again. A stem cell, are you talking about? C-E-L-L?
C-E-L-L.
That is a universal cell that has not yet been particularized, that can then particularize itself as liver, organs, kidneys, heart, etc. Yes.
Okay, so that's, I wanted to make sure we're talking about that. Okay.
So when I talk about a stem self, S-E-L-F, is it possible that you have a stem self or stem cells, selves? I like to use the S-E-L-F-S. Stem selves that you are particularizing, and in that then composing and building the self of yourself as you truly desire, and that in that your dreams or your eternal self in that regard is showing you what it is that you are building.
Yes. That picture I can make real clear, real quick.
And is it then that you could see that you, as a personal self, are not important, allow me that, you as an eternal self are not important. What is of importance or what is significant in all of this is the stem self, which you are particularizing and personalizing as you truly desire.
Oh, sure. Because without that, the whole thing goes apart.
So then we could say that there is no thing then of you that continues like a soul or anything of that nature. What, if there is anything that continues, is the stem self that you have particularized in your actions today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that I have particularized in past lives in a different way.
And what?
Is that correct? That I have particularized in past lives in a different way, complete different way.
I won't allow that.
Yeah, I was going to say, no, you didn't, Simone. Because you are not the stem cell.
Okay. Yes. Okay, got it.
No. But right now, I think you're the only one who gets to write on the, your stem cell. Can I say it that way?
Yeah.
Well, then who did it in the past life?
The other person that she was, but the stem cell can be somebody else. Joe.
It
could be
Kurt. Anyway. What'd you say?
If it's somebody else,
What did
she say?
What if?
It's nobody. I get that, yeah.
What if that alone is your purpose in life?
Hey!
What? Stem cells?
Self-particularizing stem cells?
Yeah, what if that's the case?
Yeah, that's how you... All right, how you personalize the stem self that... I don't even know if you're inhabiting, but you're acting upon now? Or something.
And your eternal self keeps you informed. If you don't create the eternal self, then you have no information about the stem self that you are particularizing and building upon.
Now, could you say that one more time? I think I understood it, but I want it again.
If you don't create your eternal self, you don't have knowledge of the stem self that you are creating.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is, are you willing to continue taking pot luck at what you are doing in your life, or would you rather take a close look at what you are doing in your life?
Sorry, I was thinking about what you said so hard I missed it.
Well, think harder about it and call it back.
I can't.
My question is this. Every Monday night, we talk about these kind of ideas.
Yeah.
And I try to push the limits and the envelope of all the language crap you believe. And everybody says, oh yeah, sure. And you go right back to life as usual. Why?
We don't know how to live that.
What is there about life as usual that you could say, well, you know, I would really like life to continue just like that? Because when you stop looking at these things and go back to life as usual, aren't you then saying, this is the self and life I truly desire eternally? So my question to you is the self that we've been talking about, is that your essence or true self or your true nature? Yes or no?
Oh, I'm going to take no.
Well, then tell me.
If you mean my personal self, then no, because my personal self is that which I call a self, which is active upon the stem self right now.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you, is your stem self, is this your essence or true self or your true nature? Yes or no? And you said, no, it is not.
Then, no, I think my if you mean, I don't know how to answer this question, but I was going to say, no, my true nature, my personal self is my personal self.
What?
I think. I'm saying I think that my personal self, the true nature of my personal self is the pattern I'm creating as my personal self.
No, if you said then that the stem self precedes you, then is that not the essence of you today, or your true self, or your true nature?
I mean, I guess it's just sort of blank, though, so I don't really know what the, if that's my true nature, I'm okay that it's a blank, that it can start over, that it could be a something that's a nada, I guess could be.
Wait a minute. Let's put it this way for a moment. Who says it's blank? Could we say it was blank, but
yeah,
that the stem self is beginning to be particularized and personalized as you have done that to the self?
No, that's interesting. I hadn't quite gone that far.
The question also is, if we could take a stem cell, C-E-L-L, and erase all its memory, if we can take a regular cell and erase all of its memory so it is a stem cell again and reuse it or introduce it as a stem cell, can we do that with a stem self?
Oh, yeah. And that really is what the essence of, I'll say, as you truly desire. It allows that even to occur. By a nothing being able to be a something.
So, then are you saying to me then that we can take an eternal self or personal self in that regard and then cleanse it of its actions and doings and appearances, wipe it clean as a stem self? Again?
Yes, and that's like beginning all the time.
Then does it have anything to do with like birth and death?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Raj, how clean are you talking about wiping it? Because we just said that it's been writ upon and that it's not a blank anymore.
But it...
What, Sally?
What?
But isn't it... It's a blank until you personalize personalize, I mean, particularize it. But every particularizing...
Wait just a minute now, Sally. I chose my words as carefully as I could, and I said, you wipe the stem cell clear of its actions, its doings, and its appearances. What remains? Does anything remain? Could anything remain?
Well, the thing, the cellular itself.
Yes.
Well, everybody laughed. I don't know what we're laughing about. What are we talking about? I didn't hear.
I just said the stem itself, the self itself remains.
But, Roger, doesn't memory always remain no matter how it... Isn't that just a given? It doesn't disappear.
So I could cleanse Sally of Sally, and the memory would still be there, although I would have a stem cell to begin all over again. And
correct.
That is that then you could access Sally or not.
Correct.
Oh, I see. So
correct.
The whatever remains does not interfere with the ability to begin again completely.
And so when I said that death and resurrection was God's forgiveness, is that not then the same as stem cell cleansing is forgiveness, but the memory is still there that I can access or not?
Go ahead. In that respect, can wipe the memory clear, stem cell clear of Sally, yet I can
I wipe the stem cell clear of every vestige of Sally, but it still has the memory.
But that's what I'm saying. So it still is, it's kind of memories, hyphen memory, is it not?
It's what?
Isn't it memory like Sally's, it can be reactivated, brought back, just like past lives?
No, why would you assume that? Memory is like a library that has all the information, but it doesn't mean squat unless you go there. Or the same way as if you don't Google it up, it's there, but it's not there for you.
I see. Okay, I needed that image. Thank you.
You need to access it actively, yes.
So, Roger, it goes back to something that you asked a minute ago about whether what would be the true self.
Yeah. What I asked you is would this then be considered the essence or true self of you?
And so the true self of me would be that I'm alive and can shape myself in any way that I want.
So, we could say then the true self of you in this regard is how you have shaped yourself.
Okay. I gotta picture that.
Does that make sense, Patrick?
Well, I'm pausing and thinking about the you that you're speaking of then.
If I wipe the stem cell clear like a slate, then I have not then a self or true self or true nature in that regard, I have a clean slate.
Correct.
But in the memory of that slate, I have quite a bit, have I not?
A lot, or yes. Could be a whole bunch.
So the essence of me or my true nature is what of that I have access.
Okay.
Roger, but true nature means true always in all ways? Or can true nature be beginning true nature? Beginning true nature now, beginning true nature now. Is it? That's why I'm trying to get an image of that.
Well, which would you rather have it?
I want to be able to true nature, beginning. Then there isn't the true nature.
Let me ask you a question. What's wrong with that, and why do you laugh?
Well, but true nature then isn't a particular something.
I didn't ask you that. I asked you why you laughed and felt embarrassed. Is it possible, then, that what we're saying here is when you look up and you get into these yes or no questions of which you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't,
yeah.
Isn't a third option, say, which would you choose? And that's okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, why not?
Whatever you choose.
If you live that, the problem is that you make one choice as to what you desire and live something else. What if you make a choice in that regard and you live that choice? Is it that then a true choice?
Yes.
Oh. What's wrong with that? Whereas what you're doing now is trying to do like science and religion has done all along and screw it all up. Trying to find the answer independent of you. And all I've ever said with a third option, if you come into this dilemma or paradox or whatever, can't you just decide what it is that you truly desire and live that? And if you then live that, isn't that a truth of the universe?
Okay.
Is it possible that the universe is of that ilk?
Yes.
Well, then doesn't then that everybody has a stem cell, a stem self, that you get to particularize and personalize however you want. There is no good, right, better, best way. However you want to do that, that's up to you and that's okay.
Yeah.
Why do I hear an awful lot of shrugs going on?
Oh, there's no shrugs. I'm telling you, is this ever thought-provoking? You mentioned a moment ago that you, and I can't remember the context, you wanted to say, you said you preferred to say self with an S on in the end, S-E-L-F-S?
Yes.
Was that just, what were you talking about there when you wanted to put an S on?
Because I want to keep the multiple of individual selves, like cells. When you say cells, it's kind of like ganging them all together. I don't want to do that. I want to, if you have a handful of selves, I want you then to be able to put the selves together however you want to. I want you to keep every frigging thing separate so that you can put it together however you want.
Okay.
Well, see, that's a handy option. I'm glad you mentioned that.
What do you mean that's a handy option? What would everybody, religion and science has taken that all away from you.
I know, and that's what I'm saying. I'm just wondering, though, when you say that, so you want to keep it so that it's there, clear that I can do that. My question is, as a stem cell, or as someone who is now writing upon my stem cell, do I have to do it that way?
Do you what?
I don't have to do it as multiple either, though, do I?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you not just say that you wanted to keep it self so that you have the multiple of an individual?
Look, what I'm saying is that science and religion come from a oneness. You're screwed. If everything is a oneness or everything is interconnected, you're absolutely screwed. The only way we're going to be able to talk about this and you can understand your life is that every aspect of yourself in life is separate and different, and you get to put it together any way you want to, and if you don't like it, you get to disassemble it and put it together again in another way, and that's okay.
Yeah, I read you. Thank you. Yep.
And so...
As a oneness, I'm stuck with what I'm stuck with, though.
That's right. And interconnected, you're stuck with whatever anybody else does, too. No. Things can be communion or not communion. And if they function together for a while, that's okay. But communion, you can then... They also function as themselves and can be pulled apart and reassembled. If you put hydrogen and oxygen together and get water, and then decide, well, you know, I think I'll take the oxygen and put it with Mr. Sulfur over here. You get sulfur dioxide. Okay. Well, I'll do a different sulfur and do a sulfur monoxide. The universe only shows itself as everything as separate and different. It does not show itself as a oneness anywhere in any way, nor an interconnectedness.
Right.
I mean, if it does, show me. Show me I'm wrong. Show me any oneness in the universe except this made-up myth called God.
Down by old people a long time ago.
Shut up. It's done by young people who are, or middle-aged people who are afraid to death. That's old folk. We don't care. It's like my mom, my mother said she was 81, I think it was, and I said, we were sitting around watching TV, and I said, Ma, don't you think you're drinking a little too much there tonight? She said, at my age, what difference does it make? There is a certain point when you can do what you want, and what difference does it make?
Right. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay, can we bring back eternal being again?
What?
Can we bring back the conversation, into the conversation, eternal self?
Sure.
Now, is that another piece that I can make up in order to give myself clarity on what I'm really living?
Yes.
Okay.
Even talking about it, you can, or doing your dreams from that perspective. Simone's got to start all over again. She worked her butt off interpreting that dream from two dreams from a personal self. Now all I did was say, now go back and do it all over again. And your eternal self, gives you an opportunity to experience continuing in this way. He didn't say anything about good, bad, right, a light being, a wonderful being. It doesn't say anything about bliss, joy, happiness, or pleasure. That's the myth of religion. The self and life you are living today is of the same ilk as your eternal self. Well, how do you like that?
I like that.
Is that okay? If it was something different or other, how would you ever know it? That's what religion has done and say it's a spiritual being, then you can't know it. I said, no, it's not. It's a physical being, and you're it right now. How you doing?
I exchanged all the eyes, the personal being and the eternal being.
I didn't hear you, Simone.
In my dream.
Hey, you guys, may I make you a comment here? It's okay to just bust right in there, but there's got to be a pause between busting in right as I give a blank for you to bust in there. Allow me to get my attention on you before you speak. I have no idea what you said, Simone, because I lost the first 6 or 8 words.
I start again.
Thank you.
I exchange all what I have written, personal self, with eternal self, and the other way around. And then I will have another picture of the dreams.
Oh, this is correct. In terms of your dream, your dream, in terms of understanding your dream, that is the beginning way. You know, when we said in there, you substitute your nouns and pronouns and etc. Well, substitute those as eternal nouns and pronouns, like I did in that one sentence about house and apartment and etc. And you understand.
Did you answer me already?
I didn't answer you. Why? Did you send me something?
No.
I haven't. What I'm trying to get you to do most of all is to get rid of the concept of oneness. You say, all right, I got rid of it. Now what? You haven't gotten rid of it. Because what we've just done, we just broke spirituality to death. Spirituality can't talk about a stem self. Next week, we're going to talk like mad about a stem self. No, it's spiritual. No, it's not. It's you. We can talk about that quite a bit. But we can only talk about that if we pull these things apart and talk about the self before you were born. Talk to me only about that. Well, how do I know that? I tried 5 years ago. Tell me what it was your life was like before you were born. What if Livet, Miss Karen, or Samurai, or Masters is how you have personified your stem self? Have you personified your stem self as you truly desire?
That's so neat.
You see?
Yeah.
Now let me ask you a question. Is it possible through all of this that when you're looking about, it's kind of like, let's say, Michelangelo's David. That when you get to talking about or thinking about your stem self that you are particularizing, did that grow and grow and grow until it's about 15 feet tall? If you don't get the analogy, don't worry about it. Are we giving you an analogy here that allows you to conceive of yourself so much greater than just your crappy little personal self today?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's an understatement.
Then are you willing to go talk about that? We're going to talk about it in certain terms probably next week. It depends on where we are or how long I get to where. Anyway, in that regard, is it possible then that between now and next week, you think more and more and more of yourself in this way, so that when we talk about this, you have a way of relating to yourself as Michelangelo's David, or this biggerness of yourself, so that we can say, okay, then how does that relate to the universe? And what if I tell you, what if I tell you that no matter what image you get or have or feeling or sense of yourself, that is merely one constituent of an emergent self that is far greater than that? See, we keep things separate. Wow. We can talk about these things. You mush them all together and we can't say a thing.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm ahead in what I've said today, we'll stop right there.
Roger, I just have one question I wanted to kind of cover now that we're at a stopping point. Some time ago, we did a Monday night talking about what you called a remaining self. And I was wondering if you remember that, number one. Was that an early pass at what we're talking about tonight?
I have no recollection of what you're talking about. You'd have to give me the context.
Yeah, I'd have to pull it up. Okay. Yeah. You know, I just think you did. I kept thinking tonight about that movie. You were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Arnold Schwarzenegger movie called The Sixth Day, where they were cloning people. And I just can't help but think, I mean, if what we said is tonight is so, then you probably really couldn't clone somebody again. If you just have the memory the memories and the stem body to put it on.
But then I can also, in the same way, do you understand then that when we talk about God's salvation for you, that of releasing you from your pains, problems, illnesses through forgiveness or whatever, we can wipe the stem self clean at any time and start over. It isn't in that a new beginning, it is in that a new becoming.
There you go. Right. I got you. Okay.
We okay with that?
Oh, really good with that. Thank you
very much. It's been great.
Well, go talk. You got to talk about it enough, or if you're doing your dreams, write your dreams down. And with this image, then say, my eternal self is talking about the stem self that you are creating.
Okay. Wow.
All righty.
That idea of stem self, I just like so much clearer about myself and my eternal self and everything that's going on. That's amazing.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Night.
Night.
Bye.